Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Rob Moss and I'm joined by John Charlton, Mark Crail and Mike Berry. Coming up, we discuss the Institute of Directors' call for the state pension age to rise to 70. What are the likely pay deals in 2010? We look at the latest IRS pay prospects survey. And we discuss the fallout of the CIPD's announcement to buy the Bridge Partnership Consultancy. But first, some highlights from the week's news. Phone company France Telecom is stopping its controversial reorganisation programme involving internal transfers, which has been blamed for a series of staff suicides. The move comes as a result of discussions with unions following the deaths of 25 employees in 20 months. Workers' representatives blame the company's restructuring as well as the bullying management style for the deaths, the most recent of which occurred last week when an employee in Brittany killed himself at his home. The Ministry of Defence has lost an appeal against the tribunal ruling last year that it discriminated against a single mother soldier on grounds of both sex and race. Tilleurne de Beek had a carer to look after her child, but in December 2006 her child fell ill and she missed training. In January 2007 she failed to appear on parade for a reason again relating to childcare difficulties. She was told that this was a serious offence and that she faced disciplinary action. De Beek resigned in April 2007, her commanding officer telling her that the British Army was a war-fighting machine and he didn't think it suitable for a single mother who couldn't sort out her childcare arrangements. But the Employment Appeal Tribunal held that there was no error of law in the 2008 tribunal ruling and dismissed the Ministry of Defence appeal. And finally, Personnel Today's columnist Goo has blogged this week about Bill Keller, executive editor of the New York Times. Keller, faced with the prospect of telling journalists that he had to make 100 of them redundant by the end of the year, decided to steer well clear of the newsroom. Here are the opening lines of his letter that he sent to staff. "Colleagues, I had planned to invite you to the newsroom to break this news in person Monday, but I've been hit by something that seems to be the flu. Though I strongly believe in delivering bad news in person, I don't want to add insult to injury by spreading infection. Let me cut to the chase. We've been told to cut 100 newsroom positions between now and the end of the year. You can visit personneltoday.com/guruBlog for more on that story." Okay, first up this week, pensions. The state pension age has been in the news a lot of late, with the Conservatives proposing to bring forward the date that it rises to 66. But the Institute of Directors has gone one step further. John, tell us more.
Well, you could argue that it's gone five steps further, Rob. An Institute of Directors report called Roadmap for Retirement Reform said that it wants the state pension age to rise to 70. It hasn't actually given a date for when this would be achieved, but it has used the word swiftly. So one would think in the next few years. And of course, this comes but 2 weeks after the Conservative Party at its recent annual conference said that it wanted the state pension age to rise to 66 in 2016. Now, this hasn't gone down too well with certain parties. For example, the TUC. Its General Secretary, Brendan Barber, said such a move, i.e. raising the state pension age to 70, would hit the poor. Interestingly, for those with an interest in history, raising the state pension age to 70 would take it where it was when it was first introduced in 1908.
Okay, so what's the IOD's justification for calling for this increase?
Well, it's basically the cost and the fact that people generally are living longer. Its chief economist, Graham Leach, said that radical simplification is needed. Startling increases in longevity in recent decades mean it's unrealistic to expect to be able to fund a potential 25 to 30 year retirement from an effective 30 to 35 year working life. So I guess it comes down to the cost of the scheme plus longevity, but basically the cost of the scheme You know, can the taxpayer afford it, so on and so forth. And what the IOD has been saying, obviously there's been a lot of comment around this issue, has been borne out by Aon Consulting, which specialises in pension issues, and it's put out a release this morning talking about the population rise posing long-term pensions headache. And I'll just finish off with a quote from Marcus Hurd, who's head of corporate solutions at Aon Consulting, which I quite like, who says that state pensions are like pyramid insurance. You have to keep feeding the bottom to fund those retiring at the top.
Okay, thank you, John. Right, sticking to rewards, today sees the publication of the IRS Annual Review of Pay Trends and Prospects. We're joined today by Mark Crail, Expert HR, Head of Benchmarking and Data Services. Welcome, Mark. How are things looking for 2010?
Well, it's been a pretty bad week for the economy in general this week. We've just seen, of course, that the economy shrunk again for the third quarter of 2009, making this the longest recession since the Second World War. But things do look a little brighter on the pay front, I'm pleased to say. Our survey found that almost half of private sector employers are confident of paying more next year than they paid this year in terms of pay rises. And furthermore, that although we've had around one in three employers this year reporting pay freezes, that number is expected to fall to one in four in the coming year. So a slight improvement there. And of course, it does depend on the economy picking up rather more than it has done so far. But it's better than it could have been.
So if we have another quarter in recession, I mean, are we likely to see companies changing their minds or?
Well, I think there are two impacts of that. First of all, it reduces the confidence that people have, makes them far more cautious about the sort of pay rises they're likely to give people. And the second underlying factor, of course, is that if companies have less output, they have less income, and that makes it far more difficult to pay more. So they won't be in a position to give pay rises.
Okay, so what are employers actually forecasting for next year?
Okay, well, the most common forecast and the median figure for forecast, in fact, is of 2%.
Right.
Now, that is up a little on this year. We're currently running at zero, so that's an improvement. but I should also point out that more than a quarter of employers, that's 28% of employers, expect that there will be a pay freeze next year as well.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
You are listening to the weekly podcast from personaltoday.com.
Finally, last month it was CIPD executive Jackie Orme's bonus that was causing some disquiet among the members. This month it's the acquisition of Bridge Partnership, a consultancy firm. Mike, what's the latest?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I've been looking into this deal over the past few days. Pretty much the £3 million acquisition of Bridge Partnership, who are a strategy and leadership development consultancy by the CIPD, has got the HR blogosphere buzzing, if you will. A lot of commentators, a lot of posters and on forums are upset with the CIPD about this deal. They say it's anti-competitive and the deal itself lacks transparency. Effectively, the CIPD have bought this consultancy, Bridge Partnership, to strengthen its links with senior business leaders and senior HR professionals. But some are saying that they're actually now in direct competition with HR consultancies. And of course, a lot of CIPD members will run their own consultancy or be part of their own HR consultancy. So yeah, there's a fair amount of disquiet about the deal.
But presumably, you know, money made through these consultancy activities, that's going to reduce membership fees, is it?
In theory, the CIPD have said that any money raised by this commercial venture will be ploughed back into membership services and membership benefits. So, you know, long term, this could well be a good deal for CIPD members. But another criticism of this deal is whether long term decisions made by the CIPD on policy and standards could be influenced in the short term by a need to sell services to prospective clients. There's a lot of ifs and maybes about this, but it's fair to say that this hasn't been hugely transparent, this deal, and there is a bit of an information void there at the moment.
Financially, do we know if this is a good deal, as it were, for the CIPD?
Well, the CIPD told me they paid £3.7 million in total for Bridge and acquired £700,000 in cash. That's a net £3 million purchase. According to Companies House, I've had a look at the accounts, the latest accounts for Bridge Partnership. It showed in the year ending to the 30th of September 2008, it showed that they owed 1.78 million pounds to creditors, debtors and cash in the bank of 2.45 million pounds. That's a working capital of about 660,000 pounds. So there is a lot of cash floating around that business, and obviously the deal would bear that out. Revenue and profit figures are unavailable because they're not obliged to reveal those figures. So on the face of it, it looks a good deal, but time will tell.
Did the CIPD say anything to you about revenue and profit at Bridge?
No, they were keeping strum on that.
And in response to question marks about a conflict of interest, you know, in terms of, you know, if you're a member of the CIPD and you're active in this space, and then the CIPD is also active in this space, what did the CIPD say in response to that?
They were fairly dismissive of that point. A spokesman told me Bridge is one of a number of small consultancies operating and poses no special competitive threat to members. Okay. So there you have it.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. And that's all for this week's Friday podcast. There's just time to tell you that Expert HR's job pricing service won in two categories in the Data Publishers Association Awards last night: Product Development of the Year and the ultimate accolade, Outstanding Achievement of the Year. More details on that at experthr.co.uk. Last week I told you that Tara would be back in the chair. This week I was quite blatantly misinformed. This week I have double checked my facts and Tara will be here next time. So until then, I just need to remind you to visit personneltoday.com to keep abreast of all the latest news and opinion. You've been listening to the Personnel Today Friday podcast with me, Rob Moss, John Charlton, Mark Crail and Mike Berry. Until next week, goodbye.